St. Patrick's Day, airsofters and mill simmers alike. I'm Jawbone.
I'm Loco. I hope you're not too drunk to listen in today.
Because we will be later.
Yeah,
but that's besides the point.
That is besides the point.
This is Airsoft Airwaves, Mind Game Productions' official podcast.
Which means no drinking on the job.
Yet.
Today we got a nice lineup for you. We'll be talking about TAC Ops series, the origins history, and then get an AAR from the most recent TAC Ops event, TAC Ops 8, that happened last weekend. Jawbone also able to snag a couple interviews on site with some new players that came out. Then Jawbone's going to be giving us a review, part one of our three-part series about the new sniper rifles that he and I picked up not too long ago. And then after that, we'll be talking some more about MGP's upcoming events, a few more details on a couple other things, and then we're all going to go start drinking.
Drinking heavily, or to the point where they'll cut us off, at least.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They didn't cut us off the last time.
Yeah, they definitely did not.
So, we had TAC Ops 8 this past weekend.
We all had a
good time, I'm pretty sure.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. For those of us who don't know, which are actually a lot of people, what exactly is TAC Ops?
TAC Ops was one of the brainchild inventions of Mac. He came across this site, location, not website, Cubic Defense Systems. They've got locations all over the place, and they do all kinds of military training. They do air defense training, ground combat training, cyber technology stuff, communications, electronics, pretty much everything that the world needs right now when it comes to defense and preparation for not-so-great scenarios. We got lucky enough to have one near us off of Oak Ridge Road down in Orlando. And basically, it is the area that we get to play in, or when we first started that we got to play in, is 80,000 square feet of CQB madness. And you got office spaces, you've got Cubicle City, you've got long hallways. How long would you say those hallways were?
Some of them were at least maybe 200 or 300 feet long.
Yeah. So you do get some long sight lines. It's a very dynamic CQB situation, not just a standard, you know, busting into, you know, Dunder Mifflin's office and trying to clear every room. It's a lot more dynamic, and all the light switches are accessible and functional for the most part, which makes it very dynamic in that you can be sneaking down a hallway with your fire squad and now the lights went off.
Yeah, I actually experienced that a couple times. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it gets the heart beating a little bit quicker. So basically, back at the end of 2009 or 2010, I believe was our first event over there, and it was a smashing success. And after that, it's just continued on from there. Obviously, we're in 2012 now, still playing over there. They try to do two or three events there a year. Some of the more notable events, aside from just the basic TAC Ops events, Rainbow Six event was held there last year, which was a big success. Everybody loved that.
Which one was that? That was Mystic Tiger, right? That was last year's?
I believe that was what it was.
All right.
Upcoming in April, we have Operation Raven Watch, which is the second installment of the Rainbow Six series. And we also did UAL, the United Airsoft League competition, which involved timed events, accuracy events, team events, individual events, a very fun, very challenging course set up from our friends with, I believe it was V3, helped set that one up, Wolfpack, those guys. It's pretty much one of the most amazing CQB places you're ever going to play in your entire life. And you're going to be missing out if you don't make it out to this next event.
Right. I can say from personal experience, it was a pretty awesome time. I'm not a huge CQC fan, close quarters combat. I'm more of like an urban combat or transitionary combat person. But inside of the Sentry building that we're at, the Cubic Defense building that we're at, the hallways were wide enough and long enough, and the rooms, the actual rooms inside, were large enough for me to be comfortable in moving.
Yeah.
Not just because I'm a big guy, but because I like to transition across large areas, and I like to get into larger rooms and buildings and stuff like that to work inside of them. So basically, I guess you would call it the Inception building, where it's buildings inside of buildings with buildings inside of them.
Yeah. I mean, there's really not a way to fully do it justice just by talking about it. You guys really need to make it out to an event and see what exactly we're talking about and experience it for yourself. Now, if you do want to make it out to one of these events, pre-registration is required. This is not a do-it-for-the-discount thing. This is a do-it-so-you-can-get-in thing. Cubic is a law enforcement and military training and simulation company, and they take security somewhat seriously. So they require that we give them a list of people that are going to be there the day prior. And if you're not on that list when you show up, there's pretty much no way we can get you in. It's not a Mac thing. It's not a Mind Games thing. It's a Sentry thing. And if we don't follow their rules, then we don't get to play there. So pre-register, take out a credit card if you have to, throw down some PayPal money, do whatever you want to do, but you need to make it out to one of these events and put that on your resume.
So we got there at what, 10 o'clock maybe? 8 o'clock?
No, we showed up around 7:15.
Well, yeah, that's because we had to be there early, but talking about like all the players and such.
Oh, yeah, players started showing up around 8:30. It was actually a record-setting speed for how fast we got things going. We were kicking off the first game at 10. That's typically when we're trying to rally everybody together for a briefing. So it was actually pretty impressive.
All right, so the first game, you recall what that was? That was just force-on-force, wasn't it?
It was force-on-force, but you had to collect those little light thingies.
Yeah. I'd say that was probably one of the more exciting games.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Besides the shotgun game, the pistols and shotgun game later on that happened that afternoon.
Which was fun.
It was hilarious. I can say I think most of my fun was had there.
Yeah.
And then I maintain a high level of fun during the rest of the afternoon.
Well, that scenario was simple. Baseline was simple, and it would get as dynamic and complex as you wanted to make it.
Yeah. I think the most fun that I had was the fun that I made out of it in getting lost in the green section.
Yeah. Yeah.
My first time there, honestly, and there's two hallways I could have gone down, went down one and became completely lost.
It happens. But that's what makes it so awesome.
That's why you review the map beforehand.
Exactly. Exactly. So near the end of the day, as Jobo mentioned, we like to try to hold a pistol shotguns match to get down to some of the old school roots of the sport, and that usually takes place in Cubicle City, which is a pretty fun area. Basically, turn all the lights off, and it is darker than black, and it's a treat to try to maneuver in there. And you realize when the lights go off, and you know there's 10 other people in the room that want to kill you, you realize how loud a footstep on carpet can actually be.
Unfortunately, my boots are starting to show their age internally. So where my heels are, arches of my foot, the leather creaks.
Yeah, so exactly.
I had to sidestep through most of that shotgun game.
Do the ballerina. Just walk on your toes the whole way. You'll be fine.
Yeah, okay.
So while we were doing that, Jawbone started packing up. He did not... No. What game was it?
That was the actual Green versus Russians game that you
guys
participated
in. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had a lot of crap to pack up, though.
Yeah, he had a lot. So basically, when we were running this last game, that was kind of just a pickup game. Mac had stepped off, and basically I stepped up or he put me in charge of running this thing. But it was BDM and a couple guys versus my guys and another guy. And that game went good and bad. It was a little bit too small, given how big the facility is. But while we were doing that, Jawbone's back at staging, and he was actually able to snag some interviews with a couple guys, courtesy of Merlin's digital recorder.
Yep, these are guys from Sinful Airsoft, C-E-N-F-L Airsoft.
It's supposed to be pronounced Sinful.
Sinful, okay. My bad, I'm not good on the lingo.
It's okay, we forgive you.
Anyways, let's go ahead and roll that footage.
All right.
Audio footage.
Let's do it.
All right, my name is Jawbone with Airsoft Airwaves. I'm here with Matchbox, Lifesaver, Dice, and the guy that shot me in the face. These are all new guys are you guys new to Airsoft?
No.
Nope, you guys have been playing for a while. This is your first TAC Ops game?
Yeah.
Very cool. Have you guys played any other games by MGP?
No.
I haven't.
All right. How you guys doing on your Tac Ops game? Are you having fun?
It's a blast.
It was fun. It's a unique experience that someone needs to check out. It's definitely worth coming to play.
Very cool. The way teams are split up right now, it's multicam, black, some woodland, and some Russian guys. I see you guys have a multicam on. What prompted your purchase of multicam?
It's the most readily available for our group, and it seems like out of everything, we have mix and matches here and there. But overall, I think our whole team, as a general, has a set of multicam, so we try to stick together.
It works well in the state of Florida, you know, mm-hmm. kind of dry, but still vegetation.
Very cool. So you guys are running as a complete team. Are you guys doing any kind of team tactics or anything at Tac Ops?
Just running gun. Running gun, having fun.
Very cool. What's your team's name?
Sinful
Airsoft.
Sinful Airsoft. Where are you guys from?
Central Florida areas. We're all spread out. A couple of us are from Daytona area. A couple of us from, you know, Claremont. You got, you know, over there in the corner from Deltona.
Right on.
Everywhere. You got other players that, you know, from Orlando. Pick up people as we go.
Very cool. Do you guys have any highlights from this game today?
Whole event.
The whole event, all right.
I honestly didn't have one bad moment, you know.
All right, so no downsides. No.
We had an op 4 try to come through a door, and he got lit up by about six guys with lights, and he fell on his ass real quick.
Very good. Poured all of those balls down my pants.
that was a highlight too.
Thanks, Will.
That actually happened.
It happened.
He's got a whole pants.
I think the best part for me is the Tac Ops is so much different because you're playing. You don't get a lot of experiences to play indoors in like a building, you know, that's sealed. It's, you know, fully, you're not going in and out of the building like a lot of the other fields have. And unless you play at night, there's not really any other opportunities to play in the dark. So that's a pretty cool experience too.
Very cool. So you guys are just enjoying the full immersion of the close quarters combat.
Great. Best we can. Yeah, the first couple games, trying to get your bearings straight, but once you start to get a feel for the location and you know where it's at, you know, it's a blast. You know, you'll get lost sometimes and you go, where am I? Oh, okay, I'm, you know, one hallway over than where I was at. Oh, there's my team over there. I'll just link up with them and, you know, start with the firefight.
Very cool. Do you guys have any plans on going to any future Mind Games production games?
I think so.
Hopefully we'll be at Rainbow Six game that they're talking about doing next month.
Cool.
Hopefully.
You guys thinking of doing Wasteland?
It doesn't work with my schedule, but if I was off, I would.
Yeah.
Of course I'd be there. Yeah. But it'll work.
All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Most excellent.
Indeed.
I'd like to take this time right now to thank our sponsor, DarkThreads.com. Stephen Rice over there at DarkThreads.com has been really awesome to us, helping us out, getting us set up.
Yep. He's got some nice gear available, and his lovely lady friend Megan is also doing a whole lot of work for MGP when it comes to the digital media, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff, the blogs. Both of them putting in a lot of hard work for MGP and definitely helping us out when it comes to gear hookups.
Thanks, guys.
We thank you. Stefan, best wishes go out to you right now.
Okay, recently I just picked up an A&K SVD. Loco and I were kind of feeling this itch for Wasteland and the Zone coming up.
Yeah, we were.
We had shotguns at the last Wasteland, which proved helpful, but not entirely helpful.
Yeah.
There was a large gap that we were missing.
Left something to be desired, if you will.
So we were itching to pick up something with longer range and...
Accuracy.
Accuracy, definitely.
And silence.
And silence, yeah. So we went out to do some shopping, and we ended up picking up a couple sniper rifles. I'd been thinking about picking up a sniper rifle for a while, even though I really don't do much sniping. Wanted something cheap and easy to get into. And I was doing some searching on the internet and saw that the A&K SVD was both my style, being that large Russian style.
Yeah, big and clunky and...
Well, it's like 6 feet long.
Yeah.
But don't let that get to you. It also had what I guess you could call it is a straight pull bolt instead of the twist and pull bolt.
Picture a a scar with its reciprocating, or an AK-47.
Well, or an SVD.
I'm trying to give them a mental picture here, though. Picture an AK-47 that you only get to fire one at a time, like a bolt-action rifle. That's how it works, instead of a regular bolt.
Or an SVD that you fire one at a time, like a bolt-action rifle. Because that's what
not everybody knows what an SVD looks like.
They have Google.
Yeah, what if they're in their cars listening?
They shouldn't be listening to us in the car.
Yeah, they should.
Okay, yeah.
Better than driving drunk. So,
anyways,
your rifle. Yes.
Yeah, we both picked up rifles. I picked up the SVD, and we decided one afternoon that we should make this part of the podcast. We should... or you could just break my leg.
Damn it. It doesn't flex?
Yeah, it does. You need a screwdriver to flex it.
Oh.
You're breaking my lamp, dickbag.
I'll fix it.
No, you won't. Because you can't weld that.
You can't weld it? What is it?
It's not weldable, I can tell you that much. Look at that.
Well, I guess I'll buy you a new lamp then.
Yes, please.
I think it's highly impractical that you can't just bend it.
It usually doesn't need to be bent.
Well, when it's shining in my face, yes, it does need to be bent. Where would you like me to put it?
On the floor with all my hopes and dreams.
Let's go ahead and set this down.
Might want to turn it off first.
I don't know. I'm scared if I try, I'll break something else.
Anyway, so this rifle that you got.
Yeah. So anyways, I picked up the SVD because I like the style. I heard really great reviews about it, and it's a really cool looking rifle personally. I like the way it looks. So I decided, well, Loco and I both decided that we should do a kind of a compare and contrast between our rifles that we got.
Yes.
He got the Echo 1 ASR.
Yes, I did.
But we're going to break it down into a three-part review and competition. In this first part, I'll be reviewing my NKSVD. Next podcast, I'll be reviewing his Echo 1 ASR. And then in the third podcast, we're going to have a shootout, a marksman shootout. And we're going to put both of ours to the test, check the quality, everything like that. We'll have a pretty in-depth review there. However, right now, I'm going to go ahead and review my NKSVD.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and shut up.
Please. The NKSVD is an all metal and polymer weapon. Built pretty much like the actual SVD. All the metal body parts are metal, and all the polymer body parts are polymer. That's the stock and the foregrip. The internals are beefy, I can tell you that. I opened up the internals and confirmed that what everybody else was saying. This thing is built like a tank. It comes with a 60-round mid-capacity magazine that is also made of metal, and it's not any kind of like cheapy metal. It's definitely stamped, but I believe it's stamped steel. It's a thinner steel. I've experienced no feed problems. As a matter of fact, I've actually double-fed a couple BBs one time with hilarious results. The trigger pull is a bit stiff, but that's just from being new. You can break it in, and also after firing it so many times, you actually get used to it. You might have a pull on the shot when you pull the trigger first couple times, but that's easy to compensate for. Plus, if your weapon is supported on a bipod, which I actually recommend with this rifle being so long, you won't have any shot pull or anything like that from pulling the trigger. A lot of complaints were that the bolt pull on the SVD was stiff. But I'm pretty sure that's because a lot of people don't have any upper body strength. I've experienced no problems with the bolt pull, personally. You have to lose your sight picture, and your weapon is actually sometimes pulled off sight completely when you cycle the bolt, as it is a bit far forward of where you normally pull a bolt. But getting back on target is no problem at all, especially if you're using a reflex sight or iron sights and you're just indexing off your front sight or something like that. Really fast, really precise cycling. There's not a whole lot of stuff you can do in the ways of modifications for this weapon, though. It does take auto-electric internals. However, most internal barrels for auto-electric guns are too short for the SVD. I forget the exact length, but this SVD's inner barrel is the length of most auto-electric guns completely. Matter of fact, I compared... Whose was it? I think it was your M4, or it was Rundown's M4, or Ruckus's M4. And my inner barrel was the same length, if not a little bit longer, than their actual M4, which was hilarious. It takes AEG springs, so you can just drop in, and literally, I mean, just pop open the upper receiver, take out the spring bore, and drop in an AEG spring, and you're already upgraded. There's a 6.03mm tight bore barrel that is made for the SVD that is supposedly the top line of the sniper rifles' internal barrels. A lot of things... let me see here. A lot of things that people like to do their weapons, like change out the flash hiders, put on silencers and stuff like that, you can't do with this particular SVD. The polymer body, or the I'm sorry, the polymer grip, the black SVD, has a front sight assembly and birdcage flash hider that are actually one unit, and it's held on to the outer barrel via a locking bolt and a keyed a socket. It looks like a like an upside down D, basically to keep the front sight aligned with the rear sight and everything like that. There are, to my knowledge, no adapters for this so that you can add a 14mm counterclockwise or clockwise thread to. However, if I recall correctly, the wood stock SVD that A&K came out with has a 14mm threaded flash hider on it. I was reading through some websites and saw that the FPS was approximately 410 to 430 feet per second on the muzzle velocity with 0.2 gram BBs. When it had my SVD chronoed and discovered, I don't know if it's a problem with my SVD in particular or just some kind of error with the chronograph, but mine was shooting around 380 to 420 feet per second with 0.2 gram BBs, which is actually a very large discrepancy between muzzle velocity between shots. I mean, that's what, 80, 90, that's 40 FPS between shots. Usually with AEGs you experience maybe, what would you say, like 10 to 15 FPS?
10 to 15, yeah. Unless you're just warming it up, then it can be 150.
Switched it up, put in the 0.25 gram BBs, and experienced a major reduction in muzzle velocity to the range of 290 to 370 FPS. It's almost a full 100 FPS difference between the 0.20 and, I'm sorry, the 290 and 370. I have a theory that it could be a dirty inner barrel, as I haven't cleaned it yet. I also haven't messed with the hop-up or anything like that. I just been using the iron sights and have a rear sight leaf adjustment. Another idea that I had was, yeah, it might be a poorly calibrated chronograph, but I can't confirm either of those just yet. The accuracy is reliable between either of the widths of BBs. I'd say I'd be able to hit a man-sized target center mass at about 100 feet, which is MGP's minimum engagement distance. I feel that if I adjusted the hop-up, I would be able to go further and hit slightly more accurately, but I'm not entirely sure as I haven't adjusted that yet.
Well, that's what testing is for.
Well, yeah. It comes with a side rail. A side rail attachment point, like most AK variants do. Not ANK, but AK variants. I haven't tried to fit any kind of side rail mount for a scope or anything like that. I'm kind of a purist when it comes to rifles. But I'm pretty sure that you can fit any kind of, not just like the specialized SVD scope, but any kind of AK, like Kalashnikov style, side and then over.
Yeah, scope the over-the-top thing.
Yeah, the over-the-top things. Now, that being said, this is an SVD, and the real one is chambered for a 7.62x54R, not 7.62x39 like the AK is, like the Kalashnikov, the AK-47, and stuff like that.
Right.
So, if you can't take an AK upper receiver or not upper receiver, but receiver dust cover mount that you see. You can't take one of those and put it on the SVD. It's just not compatible. You can probably drill into the dust cover, though, and mount a rail system, and I would actually not recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a, how much did that cost you?
I think it cost me about $120.
If you got $120 plus tax that you can risk throwing away, by all means, go for it. Let us know. Send us some pictures online and let us know how it works for you.
I was actually contemplating myself because I'm looking at the dust cover, and it is a beefy dust cover. It is
pretty heavy duty.
I could beat a cow to death with that thing.
I don't know about a cow. Maybe a calf.
Maybe
or a sheep.
Calf.
A lamb.
Ooh.
Yeah, no. That's what I was thinking. Some parsnips. We got to stop recording when we haven't eaten lunch.
Yeah, we do. So continuing on, accuracy is really good, but, you know, who needs to shoot sub-MOA, especially in airsoft?
Nobody needs to shoot sub-MOA in airsoft, and I dare say that most people don't know what sub-MOA is in airsoft.
Especially the Russians. They don't believe in such ideas.
Yeah. But speaking of shooting with accuracy, that is part one of three of this sniper rifle review. Next episode, I'll be reviewing my Echo 1 ASR. And after that, we will be performing our sniper shootout challenge. It's going to test accuracy. What else? What else would you really be testing?
Testing accuracy, range, rate of fire.
Range, yeah.
I know it comes down to how fast you can cycle a bolt. But there is an actual extra step between his rifle and my rifle.
Yeah. Yours just pulls straight back. I got to actually unlock it, yeah. Rack it, and unlock it.
See, normal people unlock the achievements and add-ons. I just buy them.
Who says money can't buy happiness? So we'll be bringing you the shootout challenge results in two episodes, accompanied with pictures on the Facebook page.
And hopefully and video.
Hopefully some video, yeah. That's what we're really hoping to do. We'll keep you posted on that.
All right, so earlier we mentioned we have a couple upcoming events. Operation Raven Watch.
Raven Watch.
Raven Watch.
Sounds like a Tom Clancy game.
It does, much like maybe, I don't know, Rainbow Six.
Yeah, it does sound like that. You want to know why it sounds like that?
Because
it's that.
I would imagine, yes.
Because that's what it is. Raven Watch, again, going to be over at Century Facility. Kind of went over this earlier in the program, so I don't really have to go through a whole lot of it. Jumping on to the forums right now, we're going to have two secure forums, one for whoever signs up for Rainbow Team, and the other for Phoenix Group. Rainbow is going to have, I believe, three groups. You're going to have Rainbow 1, Rainbow 2, and Local PD. And what that's going to offer is basically just more uniform options so more people can show up. I got the divisions right here. Rainbow Team 1 is going to be in all black. Rainbow Team 2 is going to be multicam. And the civilian PD is going to be in civilian. Phoenix Group, you're going to be OD and paramilitary. No black, multicam, or civilian. Okay? This is really important. This is touching back on that uniform thing that Jawbone and I brought up in the prior podcast. Confusing uniforms is an issue. It causes problems on both sides of the game, and it needs to stop. If you're going to be on Op 4, where either all OD or, you know, OD with tricolor woodland or, you know, stuff like that.
Now, we're not going to discourage you from wearing your black rig or whatever. We understand that you have set...
Gear and uniforms are separate. If yeah. You can't tell a full-size six-foot person decked out in green from their, you know, 3 square feet of black on their chest, then, you know, hit us up and we'll run you through an IFF class and give you a little cool certificate.
We'd actually gladly run you through an IFF class.
Yeah.
We also have Wasteland coming up. We estimate that, as there's no official time on it, to be in November of this year. Just giving you a heads up so you guys can start saving up preparing. And to let you guys know that since the Zone 3 was canceled...
Yeah. We're not pointing fingers or anything, but it sure wasn't canceled because of us.
I think it was canceled because of all those people that didn't sign up.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, which means You know that contest that we were having for the zone?
I do remember that contest with all that awesome swag in it.
With all that awesome swag.
Yeah.
You would you estimate that at somewhere in the neighborhood of like?
I would say roughly $250 worth of swag.
At least.
With that bag, that hat, them patches, and them BBs.
Absolutely.
But, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking all that swag. I guess it's just not enough. Our listeners have said it's not enough.
Just not enough.
We'd love to pre-register for Zone, guys. But that swag that you're offering is just, it's not enough swag. It's not enough free, awesome swag. So fine, listeners, we've heard you. And here's what we're going to do. There's two goals that we have to meet for us to do this extra little bit for you. First, we need 150 likes on Facebook.
At least 150 likes on Facebook.
Yeah, 100, we're already going to give you a tack vest. At 150, check this out. 150 likes and proper amounts of pre-registration for Wasteland. We're going to go out and we're going to go buy a gun.
We are.
We're going to go buy a gun that you can use at Wasteland, not an AEG. Because we love you, but I mean, come on. It's an AEG.
We love you, but kind of like a cousin.
Yeah, like only at family reunions in, you know, the basement can we love you. And even then we can't tell anybody. So we're going to go out and buy a gun. Probably a shotgun.
We might even do a pistol shotgun combo.
We might even do that. That sounds like a great idea. We might do something like that. But we're going to throw that into that bag of swag. And don't even worry about where you're going to put the gun, because the bag is so awesome, it's got something built in for you where you can put the gun. So I really think that if you don't take this up, we're going to go buy that gun anyway, but then we're just going to keep all the swag to ourselves.
And you don't want that.
And we might just go curl up and cry.
You don't want that either.
I don't want that.
Loco doesn't cry manly tears, and you don't want a fat man crying.
No. It's KFC's secret ingredient.
Yeah. Tears of a fat man.
So, you have your mission now, and I have chosen for you to accept it. So, get crack-a-lackin' on that, pre-register, and like us on Facebook. And then you're entered to win. I don't understand what is so difficult to comprehend about all this.
Yeah, well, they can't pre-register yet as the
pre-registration. Well, obviously, yes, but Facebook's been open for a while.
But I tell you what, how awesome would it be if Mac were to maybe open up the pre-registration? Oh, I don't know. Where are we? We're the third month in. Say maybe like 4 or 5 months early.
Yeah. I think that'd be a great idea. It'd be a pretty awesome idea. We might even be overwhelmed with attendees.
Cool whip.
Wheat thins.
Will Wheaton.
Whipper Will. Whoopi Goldberg.
As we digress.
So what's next? Now that we've tried...
Just to recap, we got the Raven Watch coming up. When is that? On the 14th?
Sure.
That's a Saturday?
Yep.
Wasteland, we're estimating, is going to be in November.
On the 10th.
Probably.
Yep.
On
the 10th.
That looks like it for upcoming events. Do we have any UAL coming up?
Yeah, there is a UAL coming up, actually. Give me just a second to pop a lop on over here.
You know, I'm actually kind of sad that UAL is going on, because I thought of doing a really cool, what are those three gun tournaments that the NRA hosts? But then I'm glad that UAL is doing it, because I don't want to host a tournament like that.
That would be difficult. It doesn't look like we have a date on here yet, but it's going to be in May. I see that on here. UAL is going to be in May.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Seems like we've got a pretty full schedule pretty much every month.
Yeah. Keeping it pretty pretty stacked, man, because airsofters don't like having non-trigger time.
This is true, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's true. So UAL will be pretty hardcore. Make sure you sign up with your teams on that one.
So you mentioned I have a green OD tag vest. There it is sitting over there.
I saw that earlier hanging on that door. It looks pretty nice.
You can't tell from this angle because the back is turned away from you. But it does have packs on the back of it if you want to go take a look at it. And give me your honest opinion. Go take a look at it.
It's going to make all kinds of noise.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of the fun of the radio. He's getting up from his chair, traversing the room, kicked his keys. Now, would you say that green vest right there is loaded.
Let's take a look here. All right. So what it looks like we have, here is a full Molly vest, reinforced shoulder pads on both sides, so the three of you lefties out there can have some reinforcement. I'll start on the back side. We have a Nalgene carrier.
What is Nalgene?
Nalgene
for our listeners.
Nalgene is a big brand of water bottle. Pretty much you can run it over with a cement truck and it'll be fine. Kind of like a Maglite. And if you put a Maglite inside a Nalgene, you've got a WMD and you will be arrested and detained.
Yeah, and last time somebody did that, didn't a small singularity open up?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the zone is based off of. So, next to that, we have a very large radio pouch for all you high-speed monkeys running black box radios. All of these are very well secured. Did you actually weave this?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so these patches are already truly weaved on there, not just slid through the holes. They're weaved on there. Let's flip it around to the front here. Looks like on the lower right-hand side.
That's one of those eye pouches or whatever they are.
Yeah.
The electronics and gadget pads.
Looks like we have an old passport in here for the Deutschreich Reichspassport Amerikaner. I think it's got all kinds of nifty pockets in here, pen holders. It's made by Condor, so it's pretty good. Zippered pouch, mesh pouch on the front of it, and a Velcro spot so you can put your little moto thing on there. Jumping over to the other side, you got two M4 mag pouches.
So yeah, you're not just getting a vest, you're getting a loaded green tag vest.
Yes, you are.
I know a lot of people like to start off their airsofting with green, so if you have a friend that's trying to get into it, doesn't exactly have the money, or if you have a green loadout and you just want to have another vest for it, highly recommend you push our Facebook likes to 100. Get your friends in on it, get your mom in on it, get your kids in on it, you know.
We'll save you some green by giving you ours.
Exactly.
It just came to me. I was just like, it's a gift.
Call your kids, call your wife.
Most of you are men. I'm not going to say call your husband.
Yeah.
So that's the vest. You know what you ought to do?
What should I
automate? You ought to post a picture up.
I should, actually. That's a
you
good
should,
idea.
You should
Why
do
haven't
that.
I done that yet? That's pretty dumb.
I didn't say it.
I know. I'll take the hit for that one. Hit.
Where's your kill rag?
Speaking
of kill rags, nothing reminds you that you need a kill rag and a kill light more than playing at Sentry.
Oh, yeah, definitely get, if you go to Lowe's or Walmart, I think Walmart has them. And actually, I'll try and post a link to it later this week, hopefully on Monday or Tuesday, if I can find it. I found Merlin actually posted it up earlier, their kill lights.
I saw it.
They're little triangle-looking kill lights. Those things are awesome-looking.
They're called E-lights.
E-lights, that's what they
spelled, are. It's spelled like elite, but with a dash between the E and the L. So it's E-lights, not elites. But they're pretty nifty-looking.
Actually, hey, what do you say to maybe like trying to pick a couple of those up for...
Maybe we should do that.
For a little something-something.
Throw them in a swag box?
Maybe. I'd like us.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
You would think.
You would think. Yeah.
Speaking hey, you of, know what? We got to get Schwell on this. We got to get Schwell and all his billion fans.
Yeah, I know, right? Schwell.
Yeah.
Fans.
Schwell.
Schwell.
Push it.
Fans. So, yeah, get us liked up on Facebook to 100 likes. You'll be put in the drawing to win that green, that beautiful green tag vest.
Which will go great when you have to be on a team that wears green and you don't want to confuse uniforms and piss everybody off. Go ahead with what you're saying.
While you're on Facebook, follow that link on over to the Ustream page for when we do our live podcast.
Yes. Examples of events where there will be a live podcast done.
The Zone.
No, not The Zone.
Wasteland.
Maybe. The problem is having a solid internet connection with enough bandwidth to be able to broadcast our gloriousness.
Oh.
Yeah. What I'm thinking right now is probably going to be Sentry, the UAL.
Sentry.
Yep. Origins and Gen Con.
Origins. Gen Con.
Ohio and Indianapolis, respectively.
Some like northern and
northwestern. Dude,
states.
Wait till you get up there and experience the liberalism. Just walking around wearing Space Marine uniforms, you get dirty looks. And the lady at the hotel had no idea what howdy meant when Chan said howdy.
I would have thrown somebody out a window.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we were on the ground floor.
That doesn't stop me. Hmm. I will make a fall.
Maybe you should stay here in Florida. Or not. It could be really exciting to have you with us. So, I think we've had a pretty productive day.
I would think so, too. Dear Airsofters, I'm Jawbone.
And I'm Loco.
And we're going to go get our drink on.
Aw, yeah.